Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
So this is where we get into the magical stuff, the three basic steps you need to make any spell work when you take away all the pomp and circumstance and the rituals and the fire, the burning of things, which is always my favorite. Everybody loves setting things on fire. When you take that away, the three basic steps, you have to align your intentions, which means you got to get all parts of your brain on board with the goal. It has to feel as believable as, like, I work at a job where my paycheck comes every 2 weeks and I do not question it. The second step is to embody those intentions deeply, meaning I walk the walk, I talk the talk. My environment is set up in a way for me to believe the intentions that I've set. So I don't necessarily need the result because I'm starting to show up with that energy.
Hello, hello, yummies. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And you know, I love the witchy episodes, and this one is one I personally really needed. Today we get to dive into a world where finance meets mysticism, and where practical wisdom intertwines with magical prowess, and where our guest is leading the charge in redefining what it means to achieve financial abundance. So today, I'm excited to introduce to you Jessie Da Silva. She's amazing. She's a modern day witch who's not only casting spells, but also making big money moves and teaching us how to do it as well. She's a trailblazer who's turned her journey from hot mess to success into a spellbinding adventure. I'm excited for you to hear her story of how she got to where she is today and how being fired from her career actually led her to her purpose. And it happens to be a magical purpose. And Jessie's magic just doesn't stop there. I mean, she's on a mission to demystify money and empower us to simply embrace financial abundance with a blend of practical advice and mystical wisdom. I do appreciate both. And I took notes and I'm going to be applying this myself because I personally need it as well. And I just love magic. So through astrology, spells, crystals, and herbs, she's rewriting the rules of personal finance and showing us that there's more than one way to manifest wealth and success. It's time to stir up some thought-provoking discussions, sprinkle in a bit of magic, and unlock the secrets to the witch's way to wealth. You might have seen her on TikTok at Millennial Money Witch, and if not, go follow her now. And with that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Jessie Da Silva. Jessie, this is my favorite kind of podcast, a witchy podcast. I'm just so excited that you're here. Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm excited to be here. I told you before we started recording that I am a Yomi. I have listened for a bunch of years and I'm excited to be here. Yes.
That's awesome.
So I'm talking like pandemic, like, yes, like post, like pre-pandemic. Yeah, I've been listening for a long time. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, what is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
What's lighting me up right now? Oh,
yeah.
Well, knitting is always lighting me up. I'm always knitting. Right now, I'm watching Living Single for the first time. I'm rewatching that old show and getting more deep into authenticity, really. Like, I'm starting to just become one of these people who shares everything about her life, like the positive, the negative, just because I am just really sick of the whole coaching wellness industry kind of only talking in hindsight, like, hey, I went through things that were really tough and now I'm successful. And so I'm pushing back against that. I've decided, you know what? It's all about realness from here on out.
We want to hear it all. We want to know what you're struggling with and also how you're thriving.
Exactly.
So I love that you're doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Can you share a bit then about your personal journey from, this is so interesting to me, from being fired as an attorney?
Oh, yeah.
You've created a successful business that replaced your lawyer salary. Okay. I have to hear the story.
Well, long story short. So I used to have a very respectable career practicing law before that. Even before that, I was a journalist. So I came from these very serious, practical, rational backgrounds. And I had a spiritual, I'll say a reawakening, because it was a return to myself, right? And I started having this reawakening where I was getting in touch with my spiritual gifts and I was seeing like the angel numbers everywhere and my intuition was on fire, where I always had that thing where, you know, if I was thinking about someone, they would call me or I would get a text from them. I always had that. But this was like tenfold, where people were repeating parts of conversations that either I had said to somebody else or I had heard on the radio or that I even dreamed about. And it was just very surreal. And I was like, what is going on here? So I started diving into my own spiritual gifts, learning to practice them. And at the same time, I was having this realization about my professional life where I looked at it and said, this isn't who I authentically am anymore. And when I didn't know what was next, I had to do a lot of soul searching. And I kind of asked myself, okay, well, if I weren't worried about judgment or going back to school or this or that, like, what would I do? And the answer for me was some kind of life coach at the time. Because I've always been an advice giver. I've always been very wise beyond my years. And bringing in that witchy element to it was part of that. Because those were the modalities I used when I helped people all the time. So along the way of me finding this identity as a witch and finding that I wasn't meant for the careers that I had picked, I was also just flailing at work. Like, I didn't get fired for like some sympathetic reason where it was like, oh, I had a personality clash with my boss, so they were downsizing. No, like, I was bad at my job and I own it. I was bad at my job. I knew a month in it was not a good fit, but I stayed because that's what you do, right? You get into a situation, you stay, and you start looking for an exit plan. And I like to say that the first thing I seriously manifested was actually a rock bottom that catapulted me just like out of that situation where I was fired. So right before then, and I'm talking like a week before, I had spent $6,000 on a business coach. I'd never spent money like that in my life, like outside of rent or anything like that. And I've never paid $6,000 in rent, for the record. So
like, wow, that would be a lot.
I know. Charged it to a credit card. And a week later, I'm fired. And I could have panicked because I didn't have a savings cushion. I didn't have anything. I'd never started a business before. And although it brought a lot of chaos into my life and my relationship, I decided to take that as a sign that it was time for me to just jump into it. So I did. And I made so many mistakes along the way. I've made money. I've lost money. I've cashed out 401ks. I've done the things you're not supposed to do. And I've done a lot of the things that have been good too. And ultimately, it's led me here to a place where this is how I make my living. I'm now a speaker, an author, a coach, a consultant. And while I will say it has replaced my lawyer's salary, that doesn't necessarily mean every month is some super high-end, multiple five-figures month. Like, that's not always how it is. So I just want to throw that out there for people, that I go through those feast and famine cycles just like everybody else. Yep. So in the end, it has replaced my salary, but I do still have some scary months now and then.
Whew, but you keep going. You keep going. I mean, same. I have the months where I'm like, what in the world? What do I do? What am I going to do this month? And then I have months where I feel abundant. I'm also curious, how long has it been since you dived into witchcraft?
Oh, it's been a few years now. It's been a hot minute. So it's been about 5 years since I really took on that moniker of identifying myself as a witch.
Yeah.
Before that, I would have said I was witchy, which mm-hmm. was kind of like, you know, watering the word down.
Right.
I'd always been very spiritual. I'd always been like the weird friend who was like, Mercury's going retrograde, so be careful when you're driving or plan for extra travel time. I'd always been that person, but I really took on that identification about 5 years ago.
I love that you've taken that identification on and you own it, but it's always been a part of you, it sounds like. So we're going to definitely get into the witchy side of money magic, which I cannot wait to talk about. But I also want to know, in a world where financial stress is increasingly common for a lot of us, like you said, you went through feast and famine periods, same. What drew you to explore money magic as a solution?
Really, it's because I've been through the ringer so many times that I had to figure something out. Because for me, I had this witchy side and then I had this very rational, practical side. Because I'm a witch and I teach money magic, money manifestation. I'm also a job hunt coach and a small business consultant. Like, I also deal in these very practical, grounded methods. So what I was looking for, because I've always loved reading about personal finance, and that's not to say that my finances are perfect, far from it, but I was always looking for a book or some kind of resource that would touch on both the spiritual dynamics and the energetics and the money magic side of things, spells, crystals, whatever, and would give me some actual practical strategies. And it felt like for me to have something like that, I needed like 10 books to try and piece it all together, because they were all kind of separate and working in these different fields. So, you know, I've read like Ramit Sethi's I Will Teach You to Be Rich. That was a huge inspiration for me. But I've also read like plenty of witchcraft books and books on money magic. And with those, it's often like spell heavy, and they teach on how things work or why that spell works or certain mindset things. And then, of course, I've read Jen Sincero's You're a Badass at Making Money, and that's almost entirely mindset. And I just felt like there needed to be something that would tie things together, because to me, you can take practical strategies, but if you don't believe they're going to work, or they feel unaligned to you or inauthentic to whatever your goals are, your personality, it's going to be hard for them to succeed. And as you try to adjust your mindset or do money magic spells, if you're not doing anything with personal finance, it's going to be really hard for those money spells to succeed. And so I was like, something needs to bridge the two. And after a while, I realized, well, I think I'm just going to have to write it myself. And
I'm so glad. I'm so glad because I do feel like there's a lot of universal connection with money. I mean, whatever our relationship is, whatever our mindset is when it comes to money, we're going to manifest whatever we're at with money. But then also, I feel like there's a lot of practical advice that really does help that I need to also implement. So to merge and bridge the two together, I'm just so thankful that you've done that. And we'll talk a bit about both. And then how do you also respond to skeptics when you share this idea of merging magic and money and practical advice? How do you respond to skeptics who might find this idea to be unconventional?
I tell them it's no different than, you know, the people who don't like wash their sport team jersey for the entire season or don't shave their beard the entire yes. month of November. I'm a big fan of who cares if it's real or not? Like, I believe it's real. You don't need to believe it's real. But it's not crazy if it works. And if what you've been trying isn't working, then why not try something that's a little out there? Like, worst case scenario, it doesn't work and you're in a no different circumstance than you originally were.
Agreed. 100% agree. Now, astrology plays a significant role in your approach to financial empowerment. Can you elaborate on how certain aspects of one's astrological chart can reveal their financial habits and also how they can work with their chart to understand how they can develop a better relationship with money?
Absolutely. Okay, so we got a few different aspects in your chart that you generally want to look at. And as with anything in astrology, take what resonates with you. If it doesn't resonate with you, don't worry about it. But this is meant to be a tool of self-reflection, not of prediction and not of limitation. So I like to start with Venus, whatever your Venus sign is in. So for example, I have Capricorn in Venus. And what that means for me is that despite having a very Piscean chart, Pisces sun moon, Pisces stellium. Like, I don't think you get more Pisces than I am. Despite having all of these like dreamy, intuitive, witchy kind of proclivities, my Venus sign is in this very earthy, very almost corporate kind of sign where I'm very traditional in that sense. So looking at my, and that's because Venus controls money and values. It's the house of values. So it governs love and it governs money. So this is generally how you show up in relationships, but it's also how you naturally look at money, your relationship with money. That's where it's going to be. So me thinking of the sign of Capricorn and some of the qualities that we tend to associate with it. Okay, Capricorns are kind of like those corporate ladder climbers, right? Like think of that mountain goat that wants to jump up all the way the mountain. I'm always looking like, how can things be better? How can I be doing more? I'm always like, you know, in dating, I've always been like, okay, but what's your 5-year plan and your biggest career goal? Because we need to know like what's going on here. Like, you know, are you investing in a Roth IRA? Like, despite being super witchy and weird in every other area, I'm very traditional in that sense. So looking there, looking at the sign you have in Venus is going to give you a good idea of like what your outlook is on money. When you look at the houses, that's generally going to be more of like the area of life. So the signs and the planets, that's like personality. Houses are more like, okay, what's going on here? And typically everybody points to the second house as being about money. So there's so much out there. You can go look at that. The areas I like to look at that I think are more interesting. We've got the 10th house, which some people say fame, it's fame and honors, but it's career, really. And so you can get a good idea of what your mission is based on what that sign is all about, what sign is governing that house. So I know in my 10th house, it's Aquarius. Aquarius is associated with like mankind, bettering the world, community, future thinking, change, progress, stuff like that. So I know that like my career probably needs to be public facing And of course, I have dreams where I want to change the world for the better. I want to make a huge impact. I care very much about other people. And when I can bring that into my career, that's only going to make things feel more aligned for me. The other one I like to look at is the sixth house.
I'm pulling up my chart as you say this.
Right. I know. I'm like, oh man, I need to like go look up my chart real quick. I know my 10th, but now I'm like, oh, what's my sixth house in again? But when we look at the sixth house, that, yes, it's like your day-to-day life is how most people look at it, but it can also be about the way in which you serve other people. And so in that sense, it can be a really powerful sign as far as like your day-to-day work, like what feels good day-to-day and how you show up to help other people or how you interact with other people.
With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. Mine is mostly in Sagittarius. My six is mostly in Sagittarius.
Well, what does it start in, like the first line?
Sagittarius.
Okay. All right. So I like to say with Sagittarians, I like to say they're traveling scholars. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. So they love learning and they love adventure. And so for you, it's probably really important to be in a place where you're constantly learning and you're almost charting a new path for other people. Like I had a friend who I just did a podcast interview with the other day. She has a lot of Sagittarius energy. And she said that she had gotten a reading once where someone said that Sagittarius is like the Lewis and Clark signs, where you're trying to forge a path and find your way forward. And sometimes you may go left when you should have gone right, but you don't shame yourself for having gone left because that in and of itself was a lesson. So for you, it probably, like, obviously a podcast makes a lot of sense, I guess, because you're learning and you're paving the way for other people who are going to follow the path behind you.
Amazing. So you said to not really pay too much attention to the second house.
Not necessarily. Like you, it's good information. It's good to know.
Yeah.
It does, but I'm just saying that so many people kind of hang their entire hat as far as money goes on the second house, and there's so much more within the chart that can give you guidance.
I love to hear that. I used to think that maybe my relationship with money was so finicky. I mean, I have signs surrounding this, and so this area is a huge lesson for me in life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing to keep in mind is that astrology is a language. And so we're always learning and getting more proficient in it.
Yeah.
So even the things I've said, you can't hang your hat up on any one aspect, because there's also like the North Node and the South Node. The North Node is like what you're moving toward. The South Node is like what you're moving away from, but also the strengths you're bringing into that next phase. There's also Black Moon Lilith, which is a mathematical point in your chart. And that's about like, you know, that dark shadow aspect that you bring to the table. So mine is in Taurus. I know that. So part of my shadow self is like shaming myself for wanting luxury and wanting creature comforts. And so the more I actually embrace that and remove the shame around it, the easier that money flow is, that relationship with money is going to get, the easier money is going to flow. So you can't look at any one element and say, this is a thing. Oops, hit my mic. This is the thing that defines it, and I don't need to look at anything else. It's about, okay, here's what my second house is in. So this may dictate like what my finances look like naturally, like I've come into, but I've got all these other influences that are impacting it as well. And that can be planets, right? If you've got planets in any of these houses, that's going to be helpful info too, because all of the planets bring their own strengths and weaknesses to it. So did you say you have Saturn in your second house?
It is. Oh, no, it's Venus. It's Venus in my second house, which is, my Venus is in Leo. And I know that Venus is an important one to look at.
Yes. And so Venus being in the second house, that means like there's probably going to be a natural tie between like love and money for you, where that's something where when you're partnered, you know, understanding somebody else's relationship with money is probably going to be super important for you, where you're like, okay, but where do your values fall? And can we get on the same page with things?
Totally makes sense, especially with my relationship right now, in a great way, in a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And then does your book address all of this aspect?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
We got charts. Oh, yeah.
Great. Yes. Okay, good. Because we might need, I know that for myself, I need a visual look at figuring out how to navigate all this information to understand it for myself.
Right. And for the newbies who are listening, talking about houses versus planets, like when you look at a chart, it's essentially a big circle that's cut into 12 pizza slices. And the slight pizza slices are the different houses. The houses have natural signs that they're governed by, which is where we get this idea of like, oh, the second house is about money. The 10th house is about fame and honors. That's where we get that. But where yours is personally, and that's based on the time you were born. So the specific planets you have in there will dictate how that shows up in your life, like the qualities of that within your life. The planets are, again, like more personality based. And I've got info on all of that. I break down the planets, I break down the houses. So it's beginner friendly, but it'll be interesting for, I think, people who are a little bit more on the advanced side as well.
Okay, good. And you'll even address like if you have your 10th house in whatever sign, this sign means this as well.
Yes. Like amazing. I really try to teach, like I said, astrology being a language, I try to teach people how to read their own charts. So that way you don't have to continually book readings with people to learn about yourself.
Oh, that's so great. Because that can be pretty pricey. And also many of us, you know, who do find ourselves stuck in financial ruts, we also want to take some practical, actionable steps. Do you have any recommendations for the listeners to take that journey?
Always.
Always.
I always have advice. Yes. So I would say that above everything else, you have to choose a financial practice that works for you. Okay. It's just like anything else when it comes to dating or your health, your intuition matters more than anybody else's. So if you can't go out and do like the debt repayment method that Dave Ramsey says, where he says to eat beans and rice and rice and beans and put all of your money toward debt, if that's not sustainable for you, well, that's okay, because it's essentially the same kind of intensity as like a crash diet. And not everybody is meant for that. Not everybody can thrive on those things. I mean, I'm very anti-diet culture, but it's such an easy like comparison.
That's a great comparison, actually, right. Because the Dave Ramsey way didn't resonate with me. Though yeah. I do kind of like the snowball idea, but not the just eating beans and rice idea.
Exactly, right. If you know you're like, okay, I'm actually somebody who needs to be rewarded along the way, and I'm going to highlight this especially for anyone who has ADHD or ADD, because I have ADHD. And one of the issues that we have, especially with those who are neurodivergent, is that we struggle with long-term thinking. And I think right now, too, in this like political climate, long-term thinking, it feels scary and it feels unrealistic. Well, is the planet even going to be around by the time I retire? Like, God knows what's going to happen. And so thinking about the idea of not spending any money until you pay off all your debt and all your student loans, that might not resonate with you, but maybe it does. Maybe you're somebody where you're like, I don't care. I am an indoor cat. I don't mind. I am just going to put all my money toward this until I feel like it's off my shoulders, and power to you. Go for it. But you have to trust what feels right to you. The other thing I will say is assume you are going to fuck up. Just assume it, because no one's perfect when they start something new. And in fact, when I tell people to start, when they start doing some kind of financial planning or the cursed word budgeting, I like to call it strategic spending because I like spending money. Okay. So when you start it, like, don't actually start by trying to curb anything. Just spend a month observing to see what you're doing. Like, where is my money going? What am I naturally spending money on? Because we start out with the greatest of intentions, right? Just like people have done with diets for decades. Like, that's it. I'm going to be on this diet for the next month, and that's it. And then what happens is that one day, maybe you get caught late at work or something comes up and you don't have any pre-made food at home. And now what are you going to do? It's like you either starve or you go through a drive-thru. Whereas if you just assume, hey, I'm not going to be perfect at this to start, and I know that sometimes I don't want to cook, and so I'm just going to get a few frozen pizzas for those nights and be okay with it, you're going to be able to stick with whatever your new routine is a lot easier, because you're already giving yourself grace ahead of time. And then the last part of that too is knowing that part of this is also taking a real look at where you are and seeing, if I don't have enough money, how do I get more money, right? Because there are only two ways to bring more money into your life in a practical sense. I'm not sitting here trying to say that manifestation and magic doesn't work. You're not going to like get a random check from somewhere. Absolutely, you could. All of those things can happen. But the universe rewards you when you're also taking care of yourself. And so part of that, the two ways that you can make, that you can have more money, is one, cut back money, which is where the strategic spending comes in. And the other half is, how do I increase my money? And that can be getting a new job, finally starting the business you want, picking up a side hustle, whatever it is. But again, no one has a one size fits all solution, including me. And that's why I don't present anything like that. What you need to do is be curious and experiment. See what works for you. And if something doesn't work, rather than saying, what's wrong with me? I'm such a fuck up. Say, what is it about this that's not resonating with me? And how can I adapt it? Or how can I find something that is going to address my needs and where I am in this phase of life?
I love this, because it's not only practical, but it is compassionate. You're being compassionate with yourself, because it's not going to be a perfect journey. And also, I think it might open you up to new experiences, because I think this day and age, it's not going to be easy to just have one stream of income. I mean, for some people, right? But to go out there and actually perhaps find something new, challenge yourself to something different, it's wild how the universe might reward that. I totally believe that.
Yeah, by staying open-minded and being curious, you have to look at everything as an experiment. And when you have that mentality, like a scientist, of being like, okay, let's see if my hypothesis is right, or let's see if this is going to work for me. And if it doesn't, being open-minded to something else, you remain open to blessings. So that's where the things like, oh, a random tax refund from an error that was made a few years ago, or, you know, some kind of random check came in the mail, like whatever it is, stuff like that, that can absolutely happen, but they're not things you can plan for. Like, there's only so much that's within your control. And what's within your control is being open to different portals that can bring in money and being an active agent in determining that path, or actively engaging with your finances and looking at, okay, Emma, do I really need these subscriptions, or do I need to like cut back, or whatever it is?
Yep. But I'd like to discuss the witchy way of budgeting, and also maybe paying off debt or whatever the financial situation might be for whoever's listening, the witchy way.
When it comes to the magic side of things, so the first thing I want to say is you hear on like every podcast about money magic or manifestation out there, money is just energy, right? Like, we've heard that so many times, and it drives me crazy because everybody says, yeah, once you realize it, you get it. And the people who get it are like, yeah, you get it. And everyone's like, you get it? I get it. Yes. People who don't get it are like, what? What do you mean? Like, money is energy because rent is due in a few days and I got nothing, right? So it feels like, it just feels like almost condescending in a way. Like, oh, we're part of this like really enlightened group who understands money as energy and you don't, poor you. And so I'm here to explain it. I figured it out and I can actually explain it to you. When we say money is energy, we're saying two things. One, money is not real. And two, money is a renewable resource. So getting into point one, money is not real. When we think about it, money is just paper, metal, fabric, numbers on a screen. And we have all as a society collectively agreed that these numbers or these materials have value. So it's only by us all engaging in the social construct that money has any value at all. And the example I use in the book is how during the American Revolution, there was a point where Washington's army was like, it was bad. Things were really bad. And they had started eating their horses because they had no food. They had no shoes. It was rough. And they're trying to pay merchants with American dollars. And the merchants aren't accepting it because they're like, we only accept British money because we're under British rule. So it just goes to show that it requires the agreement of all parties that these things have value for it to actually carry any value. U.S. dollars, physical U.S. dollars, are not going to help me in many other countries because they have their own currency that carries value. So it's the collective agreement. So if we can collectively agree that money has value, that means that the money itself is worthless. So the second part, where money is a renewable resource, when we think about like numbers on a screen, our money is like increasingly invisible. We don't carry cash on hands like we used to. A lot of people are not walking around with wads of cash or having to go to the bank every week to pay for their groceries and things like that. Instead, it's all on the card. It's all in our bank accounts. It's out there on Al Gore's internet. It's not really physical. And when you get into the actual nitty-gritty of things, most banks don't even carry that amount of cash like within their systems. It's like a whole weird, crazy conspiracy. Right. I won't get into that, but I will say that if you can accept that it is going through the tubes of Al Gore's internet, then you can accept that it is like not actually happening, right? It's over Wi-Fi. It's not physical. So when you walk into a Starbucks, you're like paying with your card or paying with your Apple Pay. That is going into, yeah, it's going to pay the corporation of Starbucks. And then Starbucks is also sending over the Wi-Fi paychecks to all of their employees. And those employees are using Wi-Fi to pay their bills. And like, you know, even just when you walk around your neighborhood, seeing cars or transportation or buildings, whatever, you can see like All of these cars are being paid for. All of these people I see, if they're not on jobs, they receive Social Security or their trust fund babies or whatever it is. But everybody's got this imaginary money that's floating around. And so if you can make that jump into, okay, it's all fake, it's not actually physical, then is it really such a stretch to say it's just energy then? Because if you can look at it that way, it starts to feel not like it's this like far away intangible thing, but almost like you could reach out and touch it and like grab a wad of cash from the air when you start to think of it that way. And so that's what people say when they say money is energy, is that when you work on your internal state and building stability within yourself and not placing all of that stability on money, then you start to see it truly as energy, meaning like, okay, if I build stability, if I take ownership of my actions, if I take control of the things that are within my control, then it's almost like I can reach out and grab the money that's flowing through the air.
Mm-hmm. I like this, Jessie.
Yes. So I finally explained it. Yes, I'm here for it.
That's what people mean.
Yes.
But there's also some not so great advice out there, I feel like. For example, I know that it's well-meaning and it probably needs another explanation, like how you just explained money is energy. But when people say something like, just don't worry about it. Don't, you know, just spend the money as if you have it because then you'll manifest it. I did do some stuff like that. And I'm in debt. You know, I believed in a lot of what certain people I've even had on the podcast said. It was not the best advice, but perhaps I misinterpreted it. But
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you on this. Yeah. I will explain this one too for you.
Okay.
So basically, like the people who say that, they have probably a more evolved relationship with money, mm-hmm. where for them individually, if they can get over the fear and just spend the money comes back. Mm-hmm. But that's because they've already built up a relationship with money where they feel safe not only spending it, but receiving it and having it. So this is why I say manifesting money is so much different than manifesting stuff. Because like, let's say, or even people, let's use dating as an example. So let's say I'm going to write a manifestation list for my partner. I want them to, you know, have these values and maybe like have these features or whatever it is. And that matches a bunch of different people in the world. Like hundreds, if not thousands of other people meet those qualifications, whether you know them or not. Same thing. If you're manifesting a vacation to Hawaii or a vacation to the Bahamas, you're like, okay, I want to go to this place and these are the things I want to do and whatever. What happens is that as you start seeing little things come in related to it. So maybe in dating, it's like, okay, I'm not finding the exact person, but I'm finding people who are pretty close, like a lot closer than I have been. You get excited. You're like, oh my God, the person is getting closer because now I'm starting to see people who are similar or like close, but not the full package. Or let's say the trip, you're manifesting a trip to the Bahamas. You start seeing advertisements, billboards, maybe you're starting to see deals from a certain company or a friend.
I love when that happens. The synchronicities.
Yeah, the synchronicities happen and you get excited. You're like, yes, here we go. It's on its way.
Mm-hmm.
It's different with money because no matter what you do, let's say you're like, I want to manifest $10,000 in my business this month because that's the magic number everybody's always striving for as an entrepreneur, $10,000 in a month. So you're like, I'm going to manifest $10,000. And for the sake of easiness, I'm going to use the same example from the book as let's say you're a fashion designer. And you're like, yes, I am going to sell I'm going to get $10,000 for my business this month. I'm really going to hustle. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to promote myself, do what I can. So let's say in the first week, you sell like $3,000 jackets, like leather jackets or something. Okay. You're like, yes, $3,000. That's only $7,000 more until the end of the month. Now let's say in week two, you don't sell anything. what do you end up thinking? You start being like, okay, I didn't sell it this week. So if I'm going to sell $7,000 in the next 2 weeks, then I need to make sure that I sell $3,500 this week and $3,500 next week. And so you like try to ramp it up again. And let's say it doesn't happen. You don't actually hit the 3,500. Like, how do you feel? Now you feel panicked because you're like, there's no way I'm going to do it. Like, I don't know if I can. And you're, because at the end of the day, when you're manifesting money, what you start looking at is what's not there. So even though you could look at having sold those jackets, if they had been billboards for your trip to the Bahamas, you would have been like, oh my God, it's getting so close. I'm so excited. But that's not how we feel when we're manifesting money and we're getting little bits and pieces on the way there. And that's because we're very rarely actually manifesting the money. Most of the time, that money represents some kind of feeling, some kind of purchase, some kind of lifestyle thing. That's where it is. And if you haven't done the inner work where you've created an internal sense of security and self-worth and deservingness, you fall into that trap of looking at what you have left rather than all the success that you've had so far. And I'm just going to put it out there too. You're saying, well, I want to manifest $10,000 this month. That is naturally going to be a limitation because who's to say you couldn't make 20,000 or 100,000? You're putting a cap on it. And that's because you're setting the goals based on your own internal programming. And so this is where we get into the magical stuff. The three basic steps you need to make any spell work when you take away all the pomp and circumstance and the rituals and the fire, the burning of things, which is always my favorite. Everybody loves setting things on fire. When you take that away, the three basic steps, you have to align your intentions, which means you got to get all parts of your brain on board with the goal. It has to feel as believable as like I work at a job where my paycheck comes every 2 weeks and I do not question it. The second step is to embody those intentions deeply, meaning I walk the walk, I talk the talk. My environment is set up in a way for me to believe the intentions that I've set. So I don't necessarily need the result because I'm starting to show up with that energy. So let's say like you did like some kind of love spell. You are going to do the, that's where we do the things like, okay, I'm going to like make myself feel beautiful every day, or I'm going to wear perfume every day. I'm going to like do things that make me that I would be doing if I had my partner, right? Like that's where we get into that. And then the final part is to take inspired action daily. That's where you move forward from the spell and you take action as if it's already happened. So maybe you don't want to be on the dating apps and that helps you realize, I don't want to be on the dating apps. I'd rather just go out and meet people. And if I weren't worried about it, I would just be going out and having fun and letting it happen naturally, right? Like that's, it's the same thing with money. And so it all starts with setting those intentions. And so the people who say, yeah, go ahead, spend the money. You have to spend it for it to come back to you. That's only going to work when you've done the work where you trust that on a deep subconscious inherent level. And a lot of people don't. And being totally transparent, I am still one of those people who doesn't trust it. And I know it consciously. I trust it consciously, but I know it hasn't clicked deep down. And you can always tell if you're one of these people because when you manifest money, people, when you start manifesting and you get some success, everybody goes into two buckets. Some people are like, wee, now I know how to manifest money and I keep manifesting money. Yay, life is great. That's rare. That's not the standard person. I'm just throwing it out there. Those are the people who were born into privilege. Like, you know, their trauma is like not as heavy as a lot of other people's traumas. Like, you know, they don't have as much work and like as much gunk clogging up their subconscious as far as money goes. They probably had happy childhoods. Like, I don't know what that's like. Like, you know, so they're manifesting and maybe they get to a point where it's like they're at a plateau and now their challenge is how do I break above the plateau? The majority of everybody else goes into what I call the money manifestation wave, where you go into a cycle where it's like, I earn a bunch of money, I lose a bunch of money. I earn a bunch of money. I lose a bunch of money. And it's because you have to build a sense of security and stability with money. That is the focus. So when you try to go into it as, oh, I'm manifesting abundance and wealth and I have to spend the money to make the money, you don't trust that on a subconscious level because your experience so far has been feast and famine. So instead of being like, yes, my goal is to be wealthy, my goal is to make the 10K months, instead it's like, okay, how do I shrink the wave so it's not so dramatic? So it becomes like the goal isn't necessarily wealth. The goal is security and stability. And so if you know, like, and oftentimes, if you go back and you journal on like the period of time in your life where you've had like feast and famine, like let's say you go and look at all of 2023 and you go through every month and you do the highs and the lows. What happened? Like not super detailed, just like, you know, three highs, three lows, maybe even like two, whatever comes to mind. You'll generally see a pattern. And so when I did this a few years ago, I realized that I would have a killer 2 months and I would have 4 months of drought and then two incredible months and 4 months of drought. And it's literally that formulaic. So if you can go and look at what is my patterning, what is happening around those times, you can start to plan for it. So you can say, well, I know like, oh, I'm coming up on my 2 months, which means like got to slow down, make sure my bills are paid for the next few months and give myself the room to be a hot mess. Like you just plan for it. That's all you do to the best of your ability because the focus has to be on the stability and changing the relationship you have with money. Because spending it, just spending it in hopes that it's going to come back, that's like advanced witchcraft shit. Like you have to like be fully aligned in those intentions for it to work like that.
Yes. And also do the inner work and focus on doing the inner work for that purpose, I assume. And I do love this reframing as well. And it's very, again, practical. But how about some spells?
Yes. So I'll go with easy ones because and these are not mine. These are like things that we've circulated around for years and years and no one knows who came up with them or where they came from, right? The simplest things you can do, something like, and I'm going to stick by like, you know, an amount of money is irrelevant. It's more about the feeling behind that amount of money that you're trying to manifest. Writing that down on a piece of paper, putting a glass on it, a cup or a glass, filling it up with water, and really sinking your intentions into that, being like, that water is getting infused with the energy of this. Whether that's like, if you want to do an amount of money, or if you want to say it's like the feeling of stability. Imagine it being charged with that intention and then drinking it and imagine, okay, now I'm drinking this like full, like it's, I'm drinking the energy of whatever it is that I'm manifesting. You can also use like kitchen herbs and things. So for example, you know how there's always cinnamon at coffee bars, right? To make, when you make your cup, you put cinnamon in there. Cinnamon is an abundance herb. So I will sometimes like charge my coffee, and how you charge materials to like infuse them with your energy is you put your hands together and you rub them back and forth. You rub them, rub them, rub them. And you basically, when you can pull them apart and you feel like a little swirling ball of energy, like if you pull them apart about 2 inches, 2 to 3 inches, if you can feel a swirling ball of energy between your palms, you just imagine that swirling there. You can even think of it as like white light, green light, whatever you want to do. And then you turn your palms face down over the materials and imagine that energy going down into your coffee, into that cinnamon, into whatever it is that you're about to consume. You imagine charging it and then you drink it again.
And that energy is your intention. Could it be something as simple as, I was going to say the 10,000 a month, but you're right. That is a limitation. But what if that's what you resonate with the best?
Well, let me ask you.
Yeah.
When you think of like your money goal, whatever your personal money goal is for like, let's say for April, because we're at the end of March, 2024.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When you think about like setting a money goal for April, give me a money goal that you would love to see.
Okay, 11,444. And I'm not at the 4,444 yet.
Right. Yeah. So when you think, I want you to like close your eyes for a minute and think about what's it going to feel like when you get 11,444. Let's say you get it by the 15th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's say it's like super, super early. When you get it mid-month, how are you going to feel?
Oh, relieved and excited to pay off certain things.
Okay. So excited to pay things off, but mm-hmm. you're going to feel relieved. Give me like two other emotions that you feel.
Thankful and also confident that I can manifest more next month, a specific yes. number.
Yes. Okay. So now like this is the quickest hack I have to like making money. So you said confident, mm-hmm. great, like thankful mm-hmm. and relieved.
Yeah.
So rather than going through every day being like, how can I make money today? Instead, you ask yourself, what can I do today to feel confident, to feel grateful, and to feel relieved?
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Yes, that is always the quickest thing. And it is so funny to me what happens when people do that. Like when you start your day and you're like, what can I do? And you said relieved was the first thing that came to mind. So that needs to be prioritized. So like, what could you do that day that's going to give you that feeling of relief? Like, maybe it's like tackling like, you know, a messy cabinet that's been driving you nuts. And like, once you're done, you're like, oh, I feel relieved. I feel so, oh, I'm so glad to get that off my back, or like whatever it is. Go after the feelings, and the money is usually attracted to that. So it'll like, it'll come. Like that's where the magic happens, is when you chase the emotions, the magic starts to show itself.
Mm. That is great. And then what about saying the words? I know that a lot of people are very skeptical, especially when they've been into listening to a lot of spiritual or new agey information that's out there. A lot of them say, don't say that you have debt, or don't say that you are financially strained. And so for a long time, I would just say, I'm financially free, yada, yada. But deep down, I knew the truth. So it didn't always, so that didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. What do you say about that? Like what people say aloud?
So first of all, that is one of my pet peeves when people are like, be careful what you say, because everything is a spell. And it's like, and I said this in the book, I have said so many times in my life, fuck me, and not been fucked. Like when I have needed it. So that there alone can show you like not everything is, you don't have to be so scared of words, because not everything you say is going to come to pass. It's things said and done with intention. And that's the difference. It's all about the intention that's there. And so in fact, I would say you can't go into something that's completely unbelievable for you. Okay. Like, and I like to use body image as an example with money here too, because a lot of times when you've struggled with body image for a long time, and I think, you know, many people can resonate with having had eating disorders or things like that. When you start getting to the point where you're like, I don't need to diet anymore, I need to love myself. That's the answer. That doesn't mean because you've made that decision, now every day you're going to look at yourself and be like, oh, hey, sexy thing. No, you're still going to look at yourself naked and be like, ew, that's disgusting. Oh my God, look at my cellulite. Like you naturally go there because that's where your brain has been. That's what you've been conditioned to think for decades. Okay. So if you try to say, I'm beautiful, my cellulite is beautiful, I am gorgeous. Like that doesn't feel, it doesn't help you. And it doesn't, because it doesn't feel believable. But if you can just say like, this is a leg, that's like that's not true. Negative. It's not that's negative. True. It is a fact.
Yeah.
This is a leg
that can walk.
Yeah. And like, you know, not everybody is able to walk. Exactly. So just being like, this is a leg. Like yeah. It is just a leg. It is my leg. But it is just a leg. You don't attach any kind of feeling to it, and getting to a place of neutrality where you don't even think about it at all. You don't have to say anything positive, but you're also not even thinking anything negative. You're just having a day where you don't think about it. That's a fucking win. And it's the same thing with money. If you're in a constant money struggle, being in a place where you can have a day where you're not thinking about your money struggles is a fucking win. And you need to treat it that way, because that's showing progress. It's showing that you are creating more safety and more security in your life, that your brain is starting to let go of that being like the, you know, the all or nothing, and like the, this is going to happen or it's not going to happen and I'm doomed and it's never going to turn around. And like, I'm there all the time. 2 weeks ago, I had a full on sobbing breakdown cry with my friend because I was like, where are my clients? What is not, that's not happening. Why does nobody want to pay me? Like, what is going on? Like, I've had so much interest and so many people not wanting to hire me. And like, I got a book. I'm like a paid speaker. I'm like, you know, I am impressive. I'm still crying about it sometimes because I have my own money trauma.
Yeah.
I have my own money journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I can do is just be patient with myself, feel the feelings, and aim for neutrality when positivity does not feel accessible. And that's okay. Like, you just have to give yourself so much grace during the process.
I really like that. I really resonate with that.
Yeah. So if you want to say affirmations, it can be like, you can, if it feels good to you, be like, everything is happening for me, even when I don't know that. Like, you know, you can go with one of those.
Ooh, something that you're like, okay, this is on its way. It's really right. Going to happen. I'm going to be okay. I've been okay.
And and sometimes that doesn't feel believable.
Okay.
Sometimes all you can say to yourself is, today is almost over. Like, today is only like the sun goes down at 8 p.m. and tomorrow will be another day. Like, that's something you can say. So just, it's about what's being said with intention and just blindly saying positive things or your ideal situation, that doesn't always feel believable. There are going to be days where it does feel believable and that's super motivating for you. And we want to take advantage of those days.
100%.
Those days are not the average, just like your worst day is not your average.
That's so true. There's going to be a day where you're going to wake up, you're going to look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful and feel it.
Yes.
And if you don't one day, that's okay. I love the idea of just looking for something neutral. Like, this is a nose.
Yes.
These are eyes. Okay. This is the eyes today.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And you do it with your money. You just say like, you know, it's not that bad. It could be worse. Some days it's like, it could be worse.
It could be, or it's been worse.
It's been worse. Or like, you know, if things are really bad, today's almost over.
Today's almost over. Yep. I love that. Now let's talk crystals, because they are a popular tool in the witch's toolbox.
Oh, yeah.
So what crystals do you recommend for attracting wealth and prosperity? And how do you suggest that we use them in our financial rituals?
So it depends on what phase of money manifestation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are just embarking on your money magic, money manifestation journey, you can go with the standard quote, like money crystals, which are like green aventurine is like one, you know, citrine, like things like that, where it's like you Google money for like crystals, money manifestation, and like those are going to do you just fine. But honestly, the best way to pick a crystal, I love going in person if you have something near you. If you don't, whatever, you're going to follow your intuition in a different way. But the best thing to do is like go into a store, wander around and just pick up what you're drawn to. Don't look up the meanings. Just pick it up. Yeah, just pick it up. You want to hold it in your non-dominant hand. Hold it in your non-dominant hand and like see if it feels like something. I don't want to like tell people what it should feel like because I've heard people describe it different ways. But like, do you feel a little something happening? Yeah. If you feel something happening, take it. And then when you get home, look up the meaning because it's normally the thing you need, right? Because we're thinking, well, I want to manifest money. I'm going to go get a money crystal. And you can totally do that. I'm not going to judge you for that. But if you can, like, you just pick something by intuition, even if you're shopping online. Ooh, that looks pretty. I'm going to buy it. And like, don't worry about the meaning because oftentimes we end up picking what we actually need. And the best thing you can do, you want to cleanse it first, but make sure you look up the physical properties because some are better cleansed in salt and some are better cleansed in water, but some crystals are soluble, which means they'll melt in the water. So don't just blindly stick them in some salt water, right? So make sure that it's not going to like have a weird reaction with salt or water or salt water or whatever. You just want to cleanse it overnight. So like, let's say you're going to put it in some salt, and it can be regular ass table salt. You just put it in a little bowl, cover it with salt, leave it overnight. We want to like remove the energy of people who have been touching it in the store or things like that. Like just kind of like wipe the slate clean. Whatever you put it in, whether it's like salt water or salt, you dump it after. We're not going to reuse it because now that's got the negative energy in it. So we're dumping it. And then you want to charge it. So you can charge it in the sunlight where you just leave it out in the sun all day, or you can charge it in the moonlight under the moon. Be careful with the moon. You want to match it with the moon phases. So like a full moon is like kind of, you can do anything. Like you can basically do anything on a full moon. But, you know, if generally the rule is increase or decrease. If it's a stone where you're wanting to attract things, you're going to be wanting to charge it under like moon phases that are increasing, like so heading toward the full moon. If it's something for a decrease, we're doing it after the full moon, you can charge things. So just match it to whatever it is that you're looking to do, whether it's release things or attract things. And then once it's charged, just take a second, non-dominant hand, sit with it, and like think of the intention. Like basically think of that crystal as a little friend, and you're going to be like, this is what I really want us to do together. Like, help me with that, please. And then now it's charged with your intention. Just carry it around. Use it in meditation if you want, whatever you want to do. So I know a friend who like keeps her crystal in her bra and just like wears it all day in her bra at work. Like that's what she does. I've heard people just like they keep them in their purse, like so it's close by and they carry it around. I am prone to losing things, so I don't do that as much. I just more like kind of keep it around me at home and where I can see it. Or I keep, yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't want to lose this, so I will not do that. And then if you're in the phases of money manifestation where let's say it's a chaotic time, you're in that feast and famine cycle, go for crystals that are going to give you a sense of grounding and stability. Go for black tourmaline, go for amethyst, go for rose quartz for self-love. Like go for the things that are going to make you feel better. Labradorite if you're an empath, right? To like help keep you safe and grounded. Go for those kind of things. And then if you're somebody where you're like, man, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm good. I'm like super juicy, but I can't seem to break out of this like plateau that I'm in. Like I can't seem to crack above X number months, or I can't seem to get to the next level. That's when you want to go for the crystals that are going to shake things up.
Uh-huh. And so like what?
Yeah. Like remember when Moldavite was like a yes. big thing
on TikTok?
So then everybody got Moldavite and people were like, their lives were getting ruined. It's because like Moldavite, like for you to get Moldavite, you have to be at a point where you're like, I don't care what fucking happens. I just want something to happen. Like, you know, take okay. it away. Like Jesus, take the wheel. Like, you know, I'm unattached to like anything. Like, you know, if you're going to take my relationship away, fucking do it. If you're going to take this business away, fucking do it. Like you have to be in a state of like, fuck it.
Okay.
And like completely unattached, like go for it. Yeah. Or like, that's what Moldavite is for.
But it's going to help you in the long run.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I want to grab something that's going to make me sacrifice things?
Yeah.
But, or just take things away.
It's going to shake things up. Yeah. And if you've been doing a lot of shadow work, you've been doing stuff for a long time, and you're like, ooh, I feel a little ready for something spicy. Like, ooh, like let's go on an adventure. That's also like, you can do the Moldavite. It probably is not like, if you are advanced in your like, you know, craft and your practice and you're really well supported and you're like, yeah, I could handle it. Like I'll handle anything that comes up. And you probably won't have as dramatic an experience with Moldavite because it'll be like, you'll be so like wise to what's happening. You're like, oh, it's taken this out. Yep. That's got to go.
That's got to be the lesson. And that's got to go.
Right. Yeah. The other stone that's like anything that's a tektite, which means that it's come from another planet. So Moldavite comes from a crater that was caused by a comet, an asteroid. I don't know the correct term. literally in Czechoslovakia, it all comes from this one spot. But there are other tektites, and that just means that they come from space. Tektites are all going to have that kind of like crazy effect generally. So you can go for any of those. You want to make sure it's like from a certified source, because there's lots of green glass that gets passed along as moldavite. The more acceptable, like the more accessible stone that is similar to moldavite but is not moldavite is malachite. And that's not a tektite, so it's going to be more readily available. So you can always get some malachite, which is like a green stone with a bunch of stripes in it. It looks like a kind of jasper. That is also going to be something that shakes things up, but not to the extent that moldavite or another tektite does.
This, see, witchy stuff's so fun.
I know, it's so fun.
And it makes you just enjoy or have fun with life. Now,
one thing I wanted to say.
Yes.
If you do decide to do the dance with moldavite, mm-hmm. get a grounding stone to go with it. So a lot of times, yes, people will pair it with black tourmaline is like really popular, or onyx. Go with a grounding stone, and that can like really help you, because it's a wild ride. Okay. Now we can.
Now, another thing is people are nervous. I know that sometimes I've been hesitant to do certain spells because I'm afraid it's going to sacrifice something that's beautiful in my life. Mm. What are your thoughts on that?
I will say it's going to depend on the intention and like how believable it feels to you. But you don't have to be like super afraid of like, oh my God, everything's going to go wrong. It's more like if you have like a lurking fear and you cast the spell, there's a good chance that the fear is going to present itself because you're essentially attracting it. So I actually have to use my sister as an example for this. So years ago, she signed up for this matchmaking service. And she was so paranoid that she was going to have a bad first date. So paranoid. And she was like, I want to cast a love spell because I want to make sure that I'm not going to have a bad first date. And I was like, this is already not going to work. I was like, you shouldn't cast a spell if that's how you're thinking, because you're going to end up having a really bad date. And she was like, no. I've been doing the work. It's fine. Like, I'm okay. I just want to give it like a little extra nudge. I'm like, all right, fine. Pointed her at like looked in one of my spell books, gave her like a simple thing she could do. And sure enough, that first date that she had was awful. It was not a good date. It was just like so unaligned, like and she was like really annoyed because she paid a bunch of money for this service. And so she was just like, I can't believe it. Like, that was so terrible. I'm going to try. I'm thinking about like getting all my money back, whatever. But the challenge was she had to stand up for herself, talk to them. And then they were like, oh my God, we're horrified. Like, no, you get a free next date. Like, don't worry about it. Like, we're not going to count that as like one of the dates. But I just present it as an example of like that. Like, she was so afraid of that happening, that even though the spell that she was casting was for to have a good date and to meet a good prospect, that it's because that fear was there that it just kind of like popped, it like, you know, kind of backfired on her. But even then, it's not like she lost her house and like her ex pulled her up to be like, good, I hate you. Like, you know, like nothing was that bad. So, you know, just keep in mind that like, do things that are in line with where you are and be honest with that, like with yourself about those things. And also, like when you're thinking about spells to cast, think about what is the desire on the other side of the money spell. And there's more than just like money attraction. So you can go on TikTok and see tons of videos about like money jars and money candle spells and this and that. But other spells that can be just as good, a road opener spell is great, where it's like, wow, I feel like I just keep running into obstacles. Doing a road opener spell, which it's literally an obstacle remover. Or that's where you do a spell where you're working with the deity Ganesh or Ganesha, and he is known as the remover of obstacles. So basically, you're trying to release, you're trying to get rid of anything that's standing in the way of your path, of like where you're trying to go. You do some work with Ganesha, and then Ganesha is basically like, boom, we're going to like remove the obstacles. But anything can be a spell, really, like, journaling can be a spell. Like, it doesn't always have to be like the words and all the things. But, you know, you can always use the moon phases as like a guidance for like where you are. So it's popular at the new moon to do intention setting, manifestation, because the moon is going to grow. And so it's a good time for spells of attraction. But it doesn't always have to be money. It can be attracting opportunity. It can be attracting friends or connections, things like that. Like, just think about like, in what other things can I grow? It can even be a sense of safety or confidence, things like that. And then also thinking about reduction. So the full moon is kind of like, you can do anything you want at the full moon. It's like a freebie day. But after that, you want to be looking at things of decrease. And so get creative there. It doesn't necessarily like, oh my God, well, okay, decrease, but I don't know what else. You could look at removing fear. Like removing fear or removing toxicity or negativity, you know, anything like that. Those are things to consider. Anything can be a money spell. It's just about like being aware of what it is that you need, that you need a little bit of love and support on.
Oh, I like this a lot. And I do feel like all of these spells and the new moon and full moon rituals, they strengthen your intention and you feel that and you carry that. And then that's why I do feel like that's why it manifests, and that's why it's so fun to do spells.
Yeah. So the other thing too is like, look at the sign that it's happening in. So like a new moon is going to be in whatever season we're in. So like we just entered Aries season. So a new moon is going to be in Aries, but the full moon is from exactly 6 months before. So it's like the polarity of Aries generally. So, you know, what's the polarity is Libra. So if you want to like find a spell or to do something that's going to be like a little bit on the witchier side, you just stick with the theme of that. So let's say we've got a new, like, let's say we're going to have a new moon in Aries. It can be like, I'm going to do a spell for energy, for action, for courage, for bravery.
For assertiveness.
Yes, exactly. Like you can do spells for that. And like, what's going to be the backlash from that?
Yeah, exactly. There's like, no emotional connection or fear with that.
You don't have to be scared like that. It's not like The Craft, which like I love, but I'm still scared of that movie. Like it still scares me, but it's not like going to be like, oh, I'm going to say something wrong. And like, you know, everything's going to blow up in my face. It really doesn't work like that, especially because like, if you approach it from the, it's not crazy if it works, you know, and this is just supplemental to the things I'm already doing for myself every day. Like it's just a ritual to represent the inner work that you're doing around and every day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, try it that way. Like look at the next moon phase and like, it could be like, we're going to have a full moon in Libra at some point in Aries season. So you can say, okay, I'm in a relationship. So maybe that my spell is going to be a romantic date night together at home.
Aww, yeah.
What if it's that where we do like, maybe we draw each other something funny and like cute that we do together at home with intention to like That's connect. Cute. Right. Or like I think it was like the 30, I think the New York Times had something years ago that was like 35 questions to fall in love with anybody or something. Like maybe we're going to sit down and do the questions together, get to know each other, like on a different level. Anything can be a spell. Just look at the theme of the moon phase and, you know, just make it more of a representation of the things you're already doing.
And that excites you. And I feel like when you are excited, that could also manifest in your bank account. When you do feel aligned with that.
Yes.
Anything else when it comes to money magic before I ask you the last question?
Oh, man. I will say don't be afraid to look back at the hard stuff you've been through, because a lot of times we take all that, like financial trauma is still trauma. And it doesn't necessarily need to be as something as extreme as like housing insecurity, food insecurity, things like that. Being a millennial myself, having graduated during the 2008 recession, a year after from college and, you know, going through the things that I've been through, those are all small traumas. like graduating college and not being able to find a job, that's a trauma. Like, that's hard to go through. Going through a divorce and losing your house, that's a trauma. And you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to push that behind me and not let it affect me anymore. In order to like move through it, to move past it, you have to be willing to confront it. You have to feel the feelings. You have to look at the lessons there and like be brave enough to confront it so it doesn't forever write your narrative with money. You can always change, but it always comes back to what's best for you, where you are in your journey, and also knowing that life changes, your priorities change. How you approach your finances as a single person is going to be totally different than years down the line if you start a family, or, you know, whether that family is with like human children or, you know, an acre of land and 50 dogs. I don't know what it is, but how you approach your finances is going to look different as you grow and change. And so keeping that experimental mentality and looking at it as this is here for me and I need to make sure it works for me, not like I'm shoving myself into some like box that doesn't feel right. That needs to be the guiding force. Learn the things. Learn the budgeting, learn the personal finance, learn debt repayment, and then choose the option that is going to work best for your life. Don't contort yourself to fit methods that people are trying to say work for everyone, because nothing works for everyone.
Just like diet, just like exercise, just exactly. Like fashion.
Skincare, yeah, skincare,
everything. Right. Even finances. Exactly. I so appreciate you, Jesse. This is the last question I ask all the Your Own Magic guests.
Yes.
How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Ooh. Well, I will say, after listening to this, to make a little bit of magic in your life, do the activity we went through. Ask yourself, okay, what do I want money for? And how am I going to feel when I get it? And then ask yourself, what do I need to do to feel those emotions? Go with like three emotions and then just experiment with living life that way a little bit. And not only will you find that, you know, money will probably start to show up or opportunities will show up, you'll be less focused on it. You won't feel as like, you know, as tied to the result because you'll be creating the emotion every day. So that's how I want people to create their own magic. Like really just like dial into the emotions and start giving that to yourself.
Confident, relieved, and
grateful.
Grateful, thankful. Yes, I got to remember to feel that tonight and tomorrow. And thank you so much, Jesse. This has been such a great podcast. You have to come back on.
I would love to.
Because I love this topic and I love your perspective on it because you're very practical, but also you're tapped into that other realm as well, which I love. Totally. So thank you so much, Jesse. I really mean it when I say you're coming back on.
I know it because I want to be back. So yeah, yes. I'm absolutely down. Anytime you want me to come back, I am happy to be here.
Yay. Yomis, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.